Spicer was a crook, and so were Beach and Yarber, and he, Trevor Carson, was just as culpable. There's no honor among thieves, he kept repeating silently. Link got a whiff of the beer wafting off Trevor as they walked down the hall and into the visitor's area. At the lawyer's room, Trevor looked inside. He saw Spicer, partially hidden by a newspaper, and was suddenly nervous. What kind of a low-life lawyer carries an electronic listening device into a confidential meeting with a client? The guilt hit Trevor like a brick, but there was no turning back. The mic was almost as big as a golf ball and had been meticulously installed by Wes in the bottom of Trevor's beaten-up and scruffy black leather briefcase. It was extremely powerful and would easily transmit everything to the faceless boys in the white van. Wes and Chap were there too, ready with their earphones, anxious to hear it all.
"Afternoon, Joe Roy," Trevor said.
"Same to you," Spicer said.
"Let me see the briefcase," Link said. He gave a cursory look, then said, "It looks fine."
Trevor had warned Wes and Chap that Link sometimes took a peek into the briefcase. The mic was covered by a pile of papers.
"Here's the mail," Trevor said.
"How many?"
Link asked.
8. "You got any?"
Link asked Spicer.
"Nope, none today," Spicer replied.
"I'll be outside," Link said.
The door closed, feet shuffled, and suddenly there was silence, a very long silence. Nothing. Not a word between lawyer and client. They waited in the white van for an eternity until it was obvious something had gone wrong. As Link stepped from the small room, Trevor quickly and deftly set the briefcase outside the door on the floor, where it rested benignly during the remainder of the attorney-client conference. Link noticed it and thought nothing about it.
"What'd you do that for?" Spicer asked.
"It's empty," Trevor said, shrugging. "Let the closed circuit see it. We have nothing to hide."
Trevor had had one final, brief attack of ethics. Maybe he'd bug the next chat with his client, but not this one. He'd simply tell Wes and Chap that the guard took his briefcase, something that happened occasionally.
"Whatever,"
Spicer said, riffling through the mail until he came to two envelopes that were slightly thicker.
"Is this the money?"
"It is. I had to use some hundreds."
"Why? I plainly said 20s and 50s.
"That's all I could find, okay? I didn't anticipate needing that much cash."
Joe Roy studied the addresses on the other letters. Then he asked rather caustically,
"So what happened in Washington?"
"It's a tough one. One of those rent-a-box outfits in the suburbs, open 24 hours, 7 days a week. Always somebody on duty. Lots of traffic. Security is tight. We'll figure it out."
"Who are you using?"
Some outfit in Chevy Chase."
"Give me a name."
"What do you mean, give me a name?"
"Give me the name of the investigator in Chevy Chase."
Trevor drew a blank. Invention failed him. Spicer was on to something, his dark, liquid eyes glowing with intensity.
"I can't remember," Trevor said.
"Where'd you stay?"
"What is this, Joe Roy?"
"Give me the name of your hotel."
"Why?"
"I have the right to know. I'm the client. I'm paying for your expenses. Where did you stay?"
"Ritz-Carlton."
"Which one?"
"I don't know. The Ritz-Carlton."
"There are two. Which one was it?"
"I don't know. Not downtown."
"What flight did you take?"
"Come on, Joe Roy. What is this?"
"What airline?"
"Delta."
"The flight number?"
"I don't remember.
You got back yesterday, less than 24 hours ago. What was your flight number?"
"I don't recall."
"Are you sure you went to Washington?"
Of course I went," Trevor said,
but his voice broke a little from a lack of sincerity. He had not planned his lies, and they were breaking down as fast as he put them up.
"You don't know your flight number, which hotel you stayed in, or the name of the investigator you spent the last 2 days with. You must think I'm stupid."